in today's bulletin for our devotional time. At the top, inside right page, you'll see an article written by Pastor Henry Mahan, who has gone on to be with the Lord. And his article is titled, "What Then Is the New Birth?" What then is the new birth, he writes. It is not the removal of anything from the sinner, nor the changing of anything physical or fleshly in the sinner. Instead, it is the communication of something new to the sinner. The new birth is the impartation of a new nature. When we were born the first time, we received from our parents their nature. So when we are born again, we receive from God His nature. The Spirit of God begets within us a spiritual nature. And you can read that in Galatians 5:17 and 2 Peter 1:4. That which is born of a man is human. That which is born of God is divine and spiritual. Nicodemus was startled. He was amazed at the Savior's word, yet he ought not to have been. Man by birth and nature is blind and opposed to the things of God. No amount of religious training can change this evil nature. His chief need is a new nature, or to be born again. It is a must. A man must have a spiritual nature before he can understand, enter, or enjoy the kingdom of God. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the 7th chapter of Revelations. Revelation chapter 7. We were talking earlier in Bible study about one of the greatest desires, and obviously the greatest desire in a child of God's heart is to seek after the Lord. We take great comfort in our trials and our tribulations, knowing that those very things draw us to the weakness of the flesh and turn us to the strength and the power of God Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus. But it's also a great desire and a great privilege to be able to share with those that we encounter, those that we love, those that we walk with through this world. The gospel of Christ is so simple that even a child should understand it. Behold, said John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's a message that you and I can remember quite easily. What makes you look so differently at the things that are happening in the world around us today? What makes you turn from the fear that the world is having over the virus, over those who would attack our country and crash planes into buildings, whatever. Put whatever you want in there. Whatever brings fear into your heart. What gives this person who stands before me comfort knowing that it's all right? It's a terrible thing. I know it's a terrible thing. The virus is terrible. People who attack our country, it's terrible. People who walk into a FedEx building and just shoot a bunch of people up for no reason, it's terrible. There's things like that going on all over the world. The world is dead in trespasses and sin. It's like Henry Mahan just wrote, you have to have a new nature to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Our original nature, the nature we were all born with, it's all that way. And by the grace of God, you and I don't walk the same path as many others who do those very same things. And it is only by His grace. Bill, would you catch the door? The wind has caught it and blown it open. And that glass, I don't want to see that glass break. It is our greatest desire to declare salvation is of the Lord. Behold. Not this book, but the words that are in this book. Inspired by God Almighty, a love letter to God's children. Behold the Lamb of God. The word Lamb is used in just about over 100 times in 100 different verses, beginning in the book of Genesis, all throughout Scripture, all the way to the book of Revelation. There are also many references to a Lamb, such as firstly, or firstborn, as in a flock of sheep. The word Lamb is used 59 times in the first four books alone. But what I find really interesting is that it's used 29 times just in the book of Revelation. Now, obviously, we don't have time to go through and look at every single one of those 29 verses referring to the Lamb. But we can get a pretty good idea what all the rest of them are meaning by what we see right here in the 7th chapter of Revelations. Join me, if you would, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, writes John, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. All of God's elect, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's what John saw here. All of God's elect standing before the throne. Before the Lamb, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, verse 10, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, if you would turn over to the first chapter of the book of John. John chapter 1. My message this morning is the simple message that you and I can go to with wherever we go to in the world. Behold. Take notice. This one who rules my life. This one who has always ruled my life, yet now he has revealed himself unto me and to a new heart that he has given me. I believe. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It is my intention to bring this message this morning, that the Lord may use it to prepare our hearts for coming to the table of remembrance. But first, we must clearly understand who this Lamb is that we read about in Revelations. It tells us in the 29th verse of John chapter 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus. It doesn't get any plainer than that, folks. Coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now look over verses 35 and 36. And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Twice, within a 48-hour period, John is declared this very one who walked the earth, this very one who came down from heaven, this very one who came to each and every one of his people and touched them with the power of God to be the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This Jesus is the very Lamb spoken of in Genesis 22:8, where Abraham says to his son, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You'll recall the story. Abraham and his son went up to a high mountain to worship the Lord. The Lord said, Take fire and a knife and slay thy son. And when he got up there to do so, the Lord said, Wait a minute. Hold back on that. You've done what I've told you to do. And his son goes, Well, where's the sacrifice, Dad? We've got the fire, we've got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And he says to him, My son, God will provide himself. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. The very one who is a perfect sacrifice, a lamb without spot. The very one who walked perfectly as he walked this earth in righteousness, you and I can't even really truly understand. We get a little picture of how righteous the Lord is, but do you know that God Almighty is so righteous he cannot even look upon sin? The very thing that we are, by the nature of our mother and father, by the nature of Adam. But he looks on us and sees the blood of the sacrifice of his son, the Lord Jesus. Folks, I'm doing nothing more than simply declaring to you the very simple message that behold, behold the Lamb slain. Stop looking to flesh and all the things that we think that we would like to do to help ourselves in salvation, and remember that there's nothing we can do. This flesh is nothing but weakness. I said this earlier. I'm thankful. I am thankful that the Lord continues to show me my sins before me at all times. Why? Because I can see the weakness that I am in this flesh and turn to the only strength that I have, and that is in my Lord and Savior, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This Lamb is called the Word. Look at verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now look over verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But that's not the only place we see this Lamb, is it? Let's look back to Genesis, if you would, please. Wait a minute. Look over at verse 29. Did I fall back on something here? Yeah. Cancel the 29. Go back to the book of Genesis and let's see the first symbol. I told you that this book declares the Lamb from cover to cover. Well, what a better way for us to see that this morning than looking at the beginning, the first book, the book of Genesis. We see our first symbol or type, if you will, of this Lamb and what it might be seen like. Lord willing, may we also see why this Lamb must be the sacrifice that taketh away the sin of the world, as stated in John chapter 1, verse 29. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 15. Genesis 2, beginning at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into a garden, the Garden of Eden, and to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's the first commandment of God. I'm going to put you here to take care of this garden, but don't eat of that tree. Do you think Adam and Eve taking of that fruit was a surprise to God? There are those who preach that. They preach the Lord has a plan B. What a weak, worthless God that is. I'm pretty sure that that's the God that I heard about most of my life when I was growing up, which is why I didn't pay any attention to him. What a worthless God that is. It had a plan B. Uh-oh. My plan didn't work. That sounds like human, doesn't it? I do that all the time. If you look at my work on the construction next door, you'll see that very clearly. Oh, John had a plan B with that one, didn't he? Oh, our Lord has no plan B. Everything is planned and purposed exactly how He had determined it to be. Our first commandment, do not eat of that tree. Now look over at verse 25 of the same chapter. Verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2. God's commandment we saw in verses 15 through 17, and now we see just before the fall in verse 25, and they, speaking of Adam and Eve, were both naked. But notice this, the man and his wife were not ashamed. They had not betrayed the Lord. They had not gone against the word of God. They still were innocent in themselves. Yet the Lord knew what they were going to do. In the day that thou eatest thereof, our Lord said, thou shalt surely die. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Remember, this lamb that we're talking about is a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God knew it all. It's all been purposed. Now look over at verse 4 of chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Notice it says gods in little form. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Isn't that the way natural man thinks of himself in this very day? From that time on, after eating that fruit, men have thought to themselves, I'm as powerful as God. I can make a decision. I will decide where I will go. I will decide what I will do. I will do it my way. You all thought Elvis Presley was the first one to come up with that, didn't you? No. Cain did it that way. Now look over at verse 7. For God doth know that when ye day eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Notice the difference between that and verse 25. They know good and evil now, don't they? And their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they, look what they did next. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Fig leaves. First evidence of man's work right there. I've sinned, and I'm trying to cover it up. First evidence of man's sin right there. Adam was not deceived, as it says in 1 Timothy 2:14. He went into this eyes wide open. He knew exactly what he was doing. Another picture of our Lamb sacrificing himself for his bride. Isn't that what the Lord has done for the bride? His bride, the church. Those that the Song of Solomon are written about. Fair is what Solomon says. That's the way the Lord looks upon you and I. Fair. Whew. I know it's hard to understand. But when we stop looking at this flesh and we look to what this Bible is about, to the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain, we can see that there is nothing in us to see that is good, but it is in Him. It is in His righteousness that He has established for us. Now look at verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Let's see God's work, the shedding of blood. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats. Coats of skins and clothed them. How do you think the Lord got the skin off that animal? Same way we do today. You have to kill the animal. And the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them. We see the shedding of blood. Look at verses 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now let us put forth his hand and take also... And now let he... Lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east Garden of Eden cherubims and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. They were cast out. They were cast out and they could no longer touch the tree of life. That is what sin has done to all mankind. Why do we need a lamb slain? Why do we need a sacrifice? Because the folks, there's sin in us. We are sin. We sin because we are sinners. And because of that sin, a holy God cannot even look upon man in the flesh. He must look upon blood, the sacrifice of a lamb, the sacrifice of that man. Now let's see the first clear reference to this lamb over in chapter 4, verse 1. We had a little picture there of the Lord clothing Adam and Eve with the skins of an animal, picturing the one who would shed his own blood for them. Here it's very, very clear. Verses 1 through 5. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass. Now in that process of time, these boys were taught something, and we're about to see that next. They were taught something. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He brought something with his own hands. He brought fig leaves and made a stew. I don't know what it was, but it might as well have been fig leaves. He brought something made of a man, brought of the ground. And Abel, it says in verse 4, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. We see the first reference to this lamb in its totality, that Abel brought a lamb before the Lord slain. Abel was taught by his father to slay an animal, that there was nothing he could do with his hands to come before God because his hands were tainted with sin. He had to bring something that pointed us, just as we come to the table, that points us to what Jesus has done. Abel brought a sacrifice, a lamb. So we see in God's word a very clear picture of the fall of man, which continues till today. And it will continue to the second coming. And we see the price of that fall, the price of death, the very price that each and every one of us deserve, the very price that each and one of us have earned. But God in His rich mercy and grace, wherewith He loved us. Spiritual death came upon all mankind, the separation from a holy and righteous God. We sin because we are sinners. Our nature fell with Adam. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sin, unable to seek after God, unable to take of the tree of life. There is no remission of this sin without blood, for all who sin must die. Aren't you thankful that a lamb died for us? One who could accomplish exactly what we need. Salvation is of the Lord. And so God instructed by example the sacrificial lamb. God rejected the offering of Cain because it was the work of man. Abel's, on the other hand, was a symbol of the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who was yet to come as a man. The Word was made flesh. One who laid down His life and shed His own blood for the sins of His people. The people that are spread throughout time. Aren't you thankful that the Lord had to come through rescue? Aren't you thankful that the Lord must go through Samaria? There was a certain woman there, wasn't there? Well, there was a certain person right here in rescue that the Lord had to save. There were several certain people here at rescue that the Lord had to come through to hear the Word of God preached. We read in Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." Those goats, the blood of those bulls and goats that were shed over all those years were nothing more than to point to the one's blood who would accomplish His purpose. The perfect blood of Christ. There is only one who can take away sin, and that's the Lord Jesus. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. That means that our Lord and Savior was seen as slain before anything that was created. That's why we read in Ephesians 1:4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him," chosen God's people in Christ Jesus before the world, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. God the Father chose His people and gave them to His Son, knowing that His Son would come as a man, born of a virgin, without the fallen seed, without the fallen nature, but of the Spirit, holy and without blame, walking perfectly before God the Father, doing exactly the Father's will, establishing a perfect righteousness for you and I. In Romans 9:15, we read it this way, "For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." He gave this people to His Son, knowing that he would have to be made sin. Can you imagine that? Can we wrap our minds around that fact? A perfect Lord, perfect in every way, became sin and then died on the cruel cross for us. Am I magnifying the grace of God in what I'm saying or not? Are we raising up the Lord Jesus as Moses did with the servant in the wilderness or not? It is by His grace we are saved. It is because of His love for us that we are saved. It's because of that one who sacrificed Himself and made Himself our Lamb. Our perfect, spotless Lamb. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, saith the Scriptures. God gave this people to His Son, knowing that His Son would pay the price in full and pay it perfectly. Pay the price in full to the uttermost, removing their sins from His sight forevermore. And here's why. Here is why that He knew these things would come to pass. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet one God in perfect unity. Why would God the Father look upon Jesus Christ as the Lamb slain all the way before any creation was made, when He hadn't even walked this earth yet? Because He is God in the flesh. That's why the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and I was perfect and cleanses us from all sin. It's because it was God's blood. Yes, it was Christ that walked this earth in the flesh. God the Spirit can't die. God in the flesh, the Son of God, died for His people. He didn't come here and try to save sinners. He saved His people. There is only one God, and all the fullness thereof dwelleth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship the Son, and you worship the whole blessed Trinity. Worship the Lamb on His throne, for death could not hold Him. The only sacrifice that could satisfy God's justice was the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. Salvation is of the Lord. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But there's a warning that goes out in God's Word. Do not fall for just any Jesus that somebody stands before you and speaks about. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit. He says, "But I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve," that we just read about a few moments ago, "through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Behold, the Lamb of God. It doesn't get any simpler than that. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit which is not received, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." We are warned of men who come in making truths of the Lord lasciviousness, in other words, wickedness. Isn't that what it is to take the Word of God and make it weak? To take the Word of God and say, "Yeah, God's Word says this, but..." Did you hear what I just said? God's Word says this, but... Isn't that what the devil did? Is that not what the devil did with Eve a little while ago? Did we not just read a little ago? Oh yeah, God said, if you eat of this tree, you know, but... But He knows. In Jude 1:4, we read this, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Judas of Iscariot was ordained to be the betrayer of God. Ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Men who come speaking of a Jesus who has power over all, but withholds His power over man's so-called free will. I've done everything I need to do. Now it's up to you to finish it. Aren't you thankful the Lord didn't leave us to do that? I know. And I know this because I know I was blind. And if you are of God and God has worked, done a work in your heart, you know what I'm talking about being blind. I know that if the Lord God Almighty left me up to myself, I'd still be chasing around whatever rabbits I wanted to chase around in my life. Men will come in speaking about a Jesus who is a failure. And all who believe on that one call the true and living God of Scripture a liar. Our Lord says, "For all men are as clay, and God and the God of heavens rules as the potter rules the vessel, making one unto a vessel of mercy and another unto a vessel of destruction." Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll bring this to a close. First Peter chapter 1. We're talking about the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of what you and I can go out into the world with words that we can simply say, "The Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb who rules over all things, the Lamb who has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and who is man to question the works of God? Are you washed in the blood? The soul cleansing blood of the Lamb." Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1. "For as much as ye know," do you? "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." That's what our free will is. That's what the natural will of man is. It's corruptible. Everything of this flesh is corruptible. That's why we need a perfect Savior, a perfect Lamb. "For we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Aren't you thankful? He's still manifesting his names. I have hope. All those people who were here yesterday for my granddaughter's announcement that she's going to have a baby girl, by the way. No, we did not blow up any cannons. Oh, I know. I really wanted to do that, but the fire department said we can't. They had a cake that had pink filling and said, all those people that were here yesterday, my hope for them is that the Lord is still manifesting the Lamb slain. There's still error in this earth because our Lord is still manifesting the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There's still men out there who are faithful to God, who God has made them faithful to preach who Jesus Christ is. He was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, "Who by him do believe in God." Who by him do believe in God? "Gift is a faith of God, not of works, lest man should boast." Continuing, verse 21, "that raised him up from the dead," raised Christ up from the dead, "and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God," not in the flesh, in God. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What is our message? Behold, the Lamb, the Word of God. For all flesh is as grass, verse 24, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel. The good news. There is a Savior. A man chosen of God, determined by God to save His people. His name is Jesus. For He shall save His people. Paul declared Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Every single child of God can say the same thing. Of whom I am chief. I'm going to read some words for you out of our songbook. Listen to these words without music. Sometimes we lose the meaning of words when we sing them along with music. But sometimes if you take just the words of the song, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then the fourth verse is this: lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Behold. Behold. The Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.